I invite you now to take your Bibles and turn with me. I did not update the bulletin correctly there in terms of the reading. Today's reading is Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. We are in that context, however, that started way back in verse 22 of Ephesians 5. We've talked about that each week. We'll review briefly a moment today, but we are now coming to that other part of marriage and family, and that is family-child relationships. And so let's listen up together, verses 1 through 3. Let's listen and hear to and hear God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Amen. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, we noted last week when we were talking about marriage that there are this great variety of circumstances among us in how to experience and how we experience marriage. Well, no different for the parent-child relationships either. Some of us are single, and yet we are still somebody's children. We're adult singles, and yet we are still somebody's children, and we're struggling with sometimes with how to relate to our parents a bit. Some of us have wonderful relationships and memories about our home life in the past, and some of us are estranged from our parents. The topic today, in fact, even being raised to your ears, sends you into an anxiety attack. You've been abused by control issues physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually. You've been neglected. You've been abandoned by parents. Some have children departing from the Lord. Some families are full of strife and struggles over authority. Some have a hard time relating to their parents well because of divorce and because of split custody issues. Some have ailing and elderly parents, and they wonder how to honor them best in that circumstance. Some have unbelieving parents. Some have parents who have radically different religious convictions than they do. Do you see how we need to bear in mind those differences and pray for each other as well all the time? So as we attempt this morning to appropriate the Bible's teaching about parent-child relationships, just remember that those are the challenges that we have. And brothers and sisters, hold tight by faith to the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all your sins. Otherwise, you're going to get devastated by a message that calls you, in this context in which you have to live, to obey your parents and honor them. Now, it's because that there is so much difficulty associated with parent-child relationships, as we just reviewed, the family dynamics that we often experience, it is because of that that it's important that we bear, that we hear how God brings the hope of the gospel, the good news, to bear on this most basic of human relationships. The Apostle Paul, in his mind, the home, and we get this from the text of Scripture, I think, here rightly inferred, the home, the marriage, the parent-child relationship is sort of like the ground zero. It is the beginning place where you will learn to live out of the power of Christ in your life. This is where you start it. This is where you learn it. For good or for bad, this is where you're going to learn it. And we, you know, the point I think here is that we can say all kinds of things about what we believe. And we can say all things about what we profess. But those things really truly will show up and manifest themselves in the context of our home, this intimate place called the home. And the Apostle Paul wants us to understand our calling. To our parents, as this passage says, here is a word to children. So let's listen carefully to God's word. And I want us to see this text again, as we've looked at it in past weeks, in its kind of structural setting and its contextual setting. And I think this is very important for us so that we get a good framework for how we're looking at what he's going to say to us. And so, kids, I want you to look at chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 1. If you have your Bible open, I want you to ask yourself, who is this a word addressed to? Who? Who's it addressed to? Children? Okay. Duh. It wasn't a trick question. Children are considered to be members of the church. Do you know that? When we welcomed a family today, we welcomed the professing communicant members, but we also mentioned Asher, Muriel, and Dara, because they are also members of our church now. And if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, you'll hear that Paul has written this letter to the saints in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. He isn't writing this like a daily blog post to the city of Ephesus. Okay, by the power of God's redeeming grace, God is gathering to himself a church. He's saving sinners. And sinners whom he loves, and sinners whom he has loved from before the foundation of the world to be holy in Christ. And when he begins to teach Christians about the Christian life that we are to live out of gratitude and joy and love to God for his salvation in our lives, when he shows us how to do that, he tells us that we are to live like our Savior, we are to be imitators of Christ. And he says to us, I have filled you with my Holy Spirit. And the Spirit unites us, as we talked about in weeks past, to Jesus. And we are united to his body and his blood, and he's united us to Jesus. And so the Spirit makes us partake of Jesus and his life more and more. His power, his love, his grace. It's the Holy Spirit's job to lead us into Christ-likeness. That's what this whole chapter leading from chapter 5 leading to chapter 6 is telling us. And so first he addressed in chapter 20, verse 22 of chapter 5, he addressed all Christians and he said, you're to submit to one another in the fear of God. And then he went on and say how husbands and wives, here's how you're to work out a Spirit-filled, Christ-imitating life of service in love for God to in your marriage. And then he comes now to children and he says to the children of the church's families, he says, now I've got a word for you. You are part of my covenant. You are part of my household. And he calls you to take your place in the service of Christ too. And he says, you are to take your place in the service of Christ by loving and submitting yourself to your parents out of love for Christ. So that's the first thing we need to understand. Jesus is addressing you as children. Whoever you are, if you're a child, he's addressing you. Well, second, I want us to understand how striking that would be in the context of the culture of Paul's day. Because in the Roman world, children had very few rights. We talk about child's rights today, but they had almost nothing. The father could sell his child, kill his child, imprison his child, beat his child, and treat his child like a slave laborer. So you think you had a tough dad. All right? That's what they could do in that culture. And so here comes Paul in the ministry of the gospel of redeeming grace, and he says, that's not how it is in the church. The church isn't the world. And he says, now, here's your standing in society. And God addresses the children of the church directly as responsible people. He talked directly to children in the church and he says, I've got a word for the children of this church. And if you're a child, he's talking to you this morning. And he's saying, God defines your value and your standing before Him. Not your parents and not society. God does. Your Creator. And he says, you, covenant child, are different from the world of unbelieving children. You are, because you were placed by God in a Christian believing home. And you're different. You might not want to be different. You said, I didn't ask to be different. It doesn't matter. God placed you in that place. And you are holy in Christ. And you belong to your Father in heaven. And He loves you. And your God and your Savior has this specific word for you. Obey your parents. Not because they're bigger than you. Not because they're stronger than you. Not because they're smarter than you. Not because they're more holy than you. Not because you always will agree with them. And not because Dad can whip you. Because you are in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that has a couple of directions to it. But because you are in the Lord, and you're in the family of God, and out of love for Jesus, He gives you this personal word. Obey your parents, not just your believing parents. If you're a Christian and your parents aren't, obey the parents He gave you and honor them. Love them, serve them, and cheerfully obey them. And then he adds, he seals this by adding, for this is right. For this is right. Think about that. It pleases God that you would do this. It's His will for you. And you were created for this obedience in this relationship at this place in your life. You were created for this. So glorify Him this way. You've been called. You have a place in God's kingdom and His church and His plan, and you have a calling to glorify Him. And here's how it is. Here's how you do that. So be a child. Have fun. Play. Don't grow up before your time. There's no point in that. Play your hearts out, but don't forget this. You are called to please your Father in heaven. And if you're struggling today, I just have to say to you, if you're struggling today with disobedience of heart, if you are called to change your ways by the grace of God, your God calls you to change your disobedience and to obey your parents. You see, by faith, He promises to give you the Holy Spirit to enable you to be like Christ in this way of obeying your parents. So he's calling you to conform to this, but He says, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit to unite you to Jesus so that you can be like Him. And I want you to remember what Jesus was like. Remember, Jesus was a child. He was born. He grew up. He had earthly parents. He knows what it's like to obey parents. He was your age one time, and He knows your parents aren't perfect. And His parents were not perfect. And He obeyed them. And so the Holy Spirit will so unite you to Jesus that you will partake of His willing obedience to His God-given authorities in your life. And He'll strengthen you to do that. And all of that is about the context and structure of this text that you and I needed to hear today first to start out. Now, secondly, the command, its reasons, and its reward. Again, you can't help but be struck that God loves us very much. I mean, He gives us reasons and He gives us arguments to wrap our minds around and to embrace with our hearts to do what we ought to do. I mean, God could just slap you around and beat you up and say you're an idiot or something. But He does. God says, listen, I'm going to come and I'm going to address you with reasons why you should obey me. The King and Creator of the universe comes and gives you arguments for, you know, often, you know, your parents tell you not to do something. You say, why? 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 Well, sometimes your parents say, I don't owe you an answer. Well, most of the time we actually do, frankly. But look what God does. God does give you reasons and He does give you arguments. And so He says, here you go. Obey your parents. Why? You say that to God. God says, okay, I'll give you some reasons. And I want you to take these reasons. When you're struggling with obedience, I want you to use these reasons to your own heart and your own mind as to why you need to continue to obey God. And so here it is. Obey because God calls you to. And it is right. So when your parents, let's make it simple. When your parents say, don't do this and do that, you obey. It's really simple, isn't it? It's not complicated. It may be hard to do. You may find it unpleasant at times, but do it even if you don't like it. That is the command. It's just not giving you the option any more than any of the other commandments. It's just saying, obey your parents. Okay, that's the basic idea. So here's the deal. If your parents tell you not to smoke pot, if you need to be called out by that this morning, and if you need to hear that, then I want you to hear it. There are teenagers here. Parents, we shouldn't be blind to the fact that sometimes kids smoke pot. And if your parents tell you not to do it, don't do it. And don't do it because that pleases the Lord, and don't do it because you're pleasing the Lord by obeying your parents. If they tell you not to get a tattoo while you're living in their home, don't get a tattoo. And if they tell you not to date a boy or a girl, don't do it. If you're living in their home, you owe them this. Now, we got through the hard stuff, okay? That's what it says. If it doesn't say that, I don't know what it says, brothers and sisters. It is right to give yourself to that kind of obedience. Now, as we noted in other cases of authorities and other authorities in our lives, the commandment to obey earthly authority is never unqualified. If your parents tell you to do something that is a violation of God's will, then you refuse to do it. Respectfully, but you refuse. We must obey God rather than men. The apostles taught us that. And so we please God first and foremost. So it's never unqualified to obey your parents if they call you to do what's wrong. But otherwise, you obey. Now the second thing is to honor your father and your mother. And notice there's no priority of one over the other. Honor your father and your mother. Remember, this came from the fifth commandment. We read it, we looked at it. Both. Your kids, don't put a wedge between them. Don't play one against the other. It's father and mother, and you obey them and honor them both, okay? One of them doesn't have a higher authority in this respect. God put them on the same sentence, in the same words, right? Now, we got to ask a question, and that is, what does it mean to honor, or how is honoring your father and mother, how is this different than the command to obey? We heard obey. Now, is this a necessary command? Do we need more? Why do we need this honor idea? Well, let me put it this way. What if you obey your parents and you did it grudgingly? You didn't want to do it, but you did it anyway. You weren't happy to do it, and maybe you did it under threat. You obeyed, right? But when God says honor, when honor your father and mother, then what God is saying is, I want your heart obedience. I want you to give me your heart, and I want you to put your heart into loving and serving me, God says. So honor your parents by a number of ways, and I'm gonna go out into a number of things here, following a number of different things that are involved in honoring. I think they're all biblical, and I'm just gonna go through them briefly. Honor means respecting your parents for the authority that God has given them. Respect the place that God gave them in your life as your authorities. And respect that. And it's part of pleasing God to respect that and to honor them and obey them. So think about it this way. Take delight in honoring and respecting your parents because it pleases your Father in heaven, and it will please them. Secondly, honor means guard your heart against despising your parents. You know how it goes. My friend's parents don't make them do that. Some of you might have said that once. My parents are mean. My parents are unreasonable. And let me just tell you something, kids. Every kid thinks that's true of their parent. Okay? You're not the only one who thinks that. All of your friends think that their parents are also unreasonable and mean and different than yours. They all do this, okay? This is not unique to you. It's a struggle. And so guard your heart against despising your parents. And now, I also have to say right here, that because we live in a fallen world, there may be times when a parent-child relationship gets broken. Some cases are so hard that there will be estrangement. And that is a huge grief. But even here, we must take care to guard our hearts against despising our parents. And we need to guard our hearts against the heart of bitterness and being consumed by bitterness. You know, Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, he says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all men." And your parents are part of that all men, right? You see, it may not be possible, he says, if is a conditional. If it is possible. It may not be possible to be in fellowship with a parent in some extreme cases. And they ought to be few, but it may be that that's the case. But as much as it depends on you, strive to live at peace with them. Even if you have to live from afar, be at peace about it. Pray. Continue to pray in the hope for a day when some measure of the reconciling power of Christ's cross would heal the situation. But guard yourself from despising your parents. Next, be patient with your parents. You know, your parents are sinners too. Not an excuse, but they make mistakes, and they may be unfair at times. And it's possible that you actually might get punished sometime because of something that your brother actually did do. And we know that that happens sometimes. Probably not as often as you claim, but sometimes it may happen. And your parents may blow up at you. And your parents may scream at you. And your parents might even cuss at you. And we have to say that because there is a lot of sin in our families. And we should admit that. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that honoring them means forgiving them. Not holding a grudge against them. Don't blow up at them. Don't you scream back at them. Don't make life hard for them. The Catechism has it just right. Show all honor, love, and faithfulness to them. Bear patiently with their weaknesses, since it is God's will to govern you by their hand. You know, God put your parents in your life. And He put these parents in your life. And He said, these are the parents that I give you to love and serve and honor and obey. And so be patient with them. Honor them means to talk to them. Talk to them. I think this isn't just a cell phone generation issue. I mean, when I was a kid, parents complained that their kids don't talk to them. So here's the thing. Thank your parents. Talk to your parents. Seek their advice. Tell them your struggles. Tell them your problems. Talk to them respectfully about what you think is an unreasonable command that they're putting on you, and you're struggling on it, and you're struggling with whether or not to obey them, and you're going back and forth, and you can say, you know what, Mom, Dad, with all due respect, I'd like to say to you that I think this is unreasonable. And if a parent can't take that, well, then you have too big of a view of yourself. But you kids, do that. Talk to your parents. Tell them you're offended when they blow up at you. And when you blow up them, you seek forgiveness of them too, right? And when you're older and you moved out of the house, don't stop talking to them. Keep calling them. Keep visiting them. seek their advice, seek their counsel. They need your honor in their old age. Don't wait till it's too late to tell them you appreciate their service to you. That's honoring of our aged parents, isn't it? And then finally, honoring parents is praying for them. That's what Christians do. We're called to pray for all those in authority over us. Our parents are in authority over us. Pray for your parents, kids. That's part of honoring them. All of this is biblical categories. All of this is biblical communication and interpersonal life. And we're often really bad at it. But we're called to it. And we're called to it with respect to our parents. And then look at the reward. Those are the reasons. You use those reasons when you're struggling. But now look at the reward of the promise. And look at verse 3 and notice what it says. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. This is the first commandment with a promise. How merciful and how gracious is it that God would tell us He will bless us for obeying our parents? Really, think about it. It's a win-win. How can you lose here? Right? But think about it. This is very gracious of God. I will bless you if you honor and obey your parents. And it's not like a, you know, don't think that this is like a deal you get to make with God and, okay, I'm going to bless them for this long and then I'm going to get $1 million or something. He's saying, I'm going to bless you. You're going to live long on the earth. This is a picture of God's blessing in the life of a person. This isn't an absolute, okay, we know that. God has appointed the number of our days. But as a general rule, it's saying life will be longer for you and it will be more blessed for you. It's a general rule that's saying life is enjoyable and life is blessed when you obey God. Disobeying God is not good, it's not fun, and it won't lead you to a longer life. And it won't lead you to His blessing. So the message and the promise here is very, kind of boil it down to this. Disobedience will make your life miserable and it will dishonor and disrespect God. Obedience is blessed, it is rewarded, it is honored by our Father in heaven, it pleases Christ, and so we're called to cultivate a heart that makes every effort to obey and honor our parents. Now see how important a command like this is? As far as God is concerned, our living under this family authority that He puts us in affects the way that we approach authority in every area of our lives. How you're someday going to approach your boss and your husband and your teacher and your coach and, you know, the government, your drill sergeant, whoever it be, you're going to learn something about what authority means and how to approach it in the most basic relationship you will ever know, and that's from the day you're born to your father and mother. And ultimately what that's doing, it's teaching you how to approach God's authority. Because really, your parents are as close to God in your mind as a little kid as anybody you can imagine in terms of authority. And you're learning how to obey God. Don't. And your parent says, you've got to obey me quick. You've got to obey me quick. In certain things when you're little, that happens. And we're learning with that when God says don't. We're learning how to submit ourselves to His authority. It's such a vital command in a society like ours that despises authority. I don't know if you know this. We live in a country, it hates authority. And so here's an application to end with. Now, I've been addressing the children of the congregation mostly, but I'm going to turn this now to grown children. And we have an obligation to honor our parents as grown children. And I'm thinking here of the often difficult issue of grown children caring for aging parents. And let me just ask you to turn your Bible for a moment to Matthew chapter 15. It's very interesting that Jesus addresses this question in the Bible and in His life. And in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus says, God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. And thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Dealing with aging parents is a growing challenge, and it's a growing privilege for us today, and especially for us, because we more and more live in a world where our parents are living, elderly people are living longer and longer, right? And so we have this challenge and this privilege to care for them the way that they cared for us when we were young. But along with that comes all kinds of, right, sticky, thorny issues and expenses. And especially you think about the issues that arise when a parent's judgment begins to fail. And as they get older and maybe their categories start to harden, and sometimes they insist on doing things that are not good for them. And it's so difficult for a grown child in that situation, because no matter how old you are, no matter how much success you've had in life, in your mind's eye, you're still that 12-year-old standing before your mom and dad. And so it's so difficult to assume that position of a caretaker of your parent. And one thing that Jesus says in this passage is that we must never, ever allow self-interest to undermine our obligation to care for our parents. That's what he's dealing with here. Now, all of us have different financial resources, for sure, but we're to do our best to financially care for our parents in their need, in their age, in their old age. That's what Jesus says here. And it's interesting that that happened in his day. And it was the refusal to do it was covered up in this religious veneer. Oh, we can't dedicate our finances to our parents' need because we've dedicated it to God. Well, Jesus says, uh-uh, no way. He just blows that out of the water. He says, you have a biblical obligation under the fifth commandment. They cared for you when you were helpless and you could not care for yourself. And now they can't care for themselves. And you are to step up. And you can't say your money's dedicated to me, because I say that you're supposed to do this. See, it's a divine and it's an honoring obligation. And right now in this room, there's many of us. There are many of us who have done this or who are in the middle of doing this in very difficult circumstances even. And so if you're wrestling with this right now, seek each other out, brothers and sisters. Speak to each other in the congregation. People who are doing this, people who have done this in the past, those facing the same kinds of heartbreaks and heartaches and seemingly insolvable problems, that you're going through. You see, we can encourage each other. We ought to. That's the fellowship of the saints, right? But this is pleasing to God. And it's our privilege under God to care for the ones who cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself, and now they can't care for themselves. And so we're to continue to honor them with what it takes. Well, yes. This is very hard. But what a wonderful testimony to the world of the love of Christ. Because think of our Savior as he was dying on the cross, as the wrath of God against the whole human race was crashing down on him on the cross. And what did Jesus do? He turned to John and he saw to his mother's future needs without him while he was dying on a cross. He said that. He was honoring his mother in love and in honor to God. It's Christ-like that we do this thing. So this calling to honor our parents carries all the way from childhood in the home to the last days of our parents' lives on this earth. And sure, the way we honor changes, But the principle will remain and needs to be maintained. When we're grown, when we're on our own, we're married or we're single, there's a new level of autonomy in our lives, absolutely. But the way that we honor, that continues to be something we're called to. And so, even when our parents are stubborn, even when they might be unwise, I'm not saying they all are, but that's a real challenge with people in their elders. Sometimes they lose their mind, sometimes it's Alzheimer's, sometimes it's dementia. These are hard things, but we're to honor them for the sake of God and of Christ. And we must never forsake this commitment to the principles of God that He calls us to as Christians. And we need to honor God in the way we love and serve others. And that very much has to do with those who are closest to us. And remember again, the Holy Spirit will enable us. The Holy Spirit will teach us to cry out, to help us to love and honor our parents in this Christ-like way. So next time, a word to parents. Amen.